This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company. I was passing a sign the other day that caught my attention. The sign said Gallery Flow, and it pointed to secondhand goods and coffee and a chance to spend some time in a nice environment. I thought, well, I'll take a look at that as I'm passing. I'm very glad that I did, because I ended up talking to Aldis, who is the owner of Gallery Flow, and we had a long conversation about what she has set up here and also about the area in which we find ourselves. And I want to get into all of that with you if I can. Thanks very much for having me back, firstly.
Thank you.
This is a consignment store, a second-hand store, but this one is set up in a slightly different way, and I want to cover all of that. But very briefly, the second-hand store that we're in, tell me about the founding of that, firstly.
This is a very long story.
Okay.
But first of all, I've always wanted to take part in the recycling industry and shop secondhand. But I'm very cringy. Like, I'm not snobby, but, you know, I can't get hair in my food and I'll just gag. And you know, if I get certain smells, I'll, like, you know, get turned off.
So and are some secondhand stores a bit like that?
Yes.
Is what you mean? Okay.
And I've been to a lot of them, and I would always go into this journey looking at clothes or items, especially clothes that I'm going to be wearing. I would go on the journey of, oh, who wore it, and, you know, just kind of get the cringe. I don't want to know too much about it, just like, you know, yeah. And I would also wonder a lot about how come there's no, little work put into the presentation of used goods, you know. So this has been sort of my showstopper of taking part in the industry. I've been shopping used clothes on my kids. And what sort of got me thinking is when I bought a coat in one of those places for my son, and I got home and the zipper was broken. And it really got me thinking. I didn't feel less betrayed as if I had bought it new. Mm. I felt like I paid money for it, and I started asking myself, is this just allowed in this world? That I go into a secondhand shop, can I not trust that this item is whole, like that it works, or, you know. So I did a pop-up market in Ier, you know, the sports center in my neighborhood. It was supposed to be one weekend, did it with my friend. And then we did another weekend, and we were asked to be again and again, and decided to stay there till New Year's in no heat. And by some coincidence, when I was about to close down, the owners of this building shopped in my store and convinced me to come over here and do this here.
Okay. Now tell me about the building that we're in and where we are as well, because part of this conversation will be about the area that we're in. It's on the rise.
Yeah, this is Gufunes, and we're located at Gufunesvegur 17. This street in particular is an old fertility factory. No, what do you call it?
Fertilizer.
Fertility.
What went on here?
Yeah,
my goodness.
Well, I'm not going to explain it in more detail.
So it was a fertilizer factory, but you were telling me earlier that actually, for that reason, this building is literally bombproof, because it had to be, because fertilizer production, when it goes wrong, can be literally explosive.
Exactly. And the buildings here on the street surrounding us, the old ones, because of this reason. This used to be the headquarters where the CEO, and here, this was the food court where we're located here. Mm. And the kitchen here behind us is the kitchen that served the food court. Yeah, we're basically like, we're in the safest area of I guess, the country.
Well, that's good to know. So we'll park that piece of information. The secondhand store that we're in just now, you've got clothes racked up for men and women here at the front. But the area that we're in the middle, and you were telling me about this, that you had three kind of images for the central part of the store. And you've got what are almost three living room setups with furniture, which is for sale, secondhand furniture and various accessories and objets and items and ornaments and such like. Do you want to just talk us through what we have here. Let's start with the one on the far right over here. There's a cream sofa. There's an ornate table. There are some green armchairs. There's a wall unit with a variety of board games. And there's an old DVD player, I think, there by the looks of it. And what you have in mind here, there's almost like a gallery in a way, isn't it? Because you've set this up with what you imagine or how you imagine three different families might have lived.
Exactly. This particular living room, I imagine this being a young couple just started living together. They're just starting their career. They don't have a lot of money, but they want to look sophisticated. And they recently afforded this leather couch, the cream one that you explained. But they're retro. They want to mix the old and new. And like the shelves and that, this is supposed to be sort of a hand-me-down. But they have a vision for the future. And then can I move into the middle one?
Yes, the one that we're sitting in just now. So let's describe this. There's an armchair across from us, which is very much more dated with a wooden frame. And the chairs that we're sitting in are, well, you're in a wingback chair there, which looks very comfortable. And mine is no less comfortable. We've got an old rotary telephone here. There's a very ornate candlestick. And there's a sort of mid-century dresser here. Not a dresser, but perhaps a cupboard. And a mid-century table there too. So who lives here, would you say?
I would say here, this is a more mature couple. They're a bit older than the previous couple. They've established their career and they have more money. So that's why they could afford this antique chair over here that you described, which is about 100 years old. They also have the modern stuff. Well, IKEA, because they're not snobby, this couple, but they have money, but they don't flash it.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of picture it in a little bit mature in a way.
And the third such living room, we've got a complete set here. Tell me about the sofa and the armchairs. Describe those.
Yeah, this is the living room of, I imagine you're going to your grandmother's house. And there's actually a long story to this living room set. And to mention that, all the furniture here in the cafe is for sale, even though you sit in it and enjoy it.
Well, I wanted to get to that because I observed the last time I was here that you maybe don't want to sell some of this because it breaks up the theme that you've created. You do want to sell it, though, to be clear.
Yes. I do, but I do get emotionally attached to these items, so I kind of get like heartbroken when something is bought. But this particular, the last living room, this is, we're not sure how old it is, but it is estate. And the people who brought it said their grandmother owned it. And she was born in 1900. And she used to get all her furniture from other estates at the time.
Okay.
And their memory goes far as back as to 1950, where they see this set over there. Could be older, but imagine if it's at least from the 1950s, probably from the early 1900s. But 20 years ago, the grandmother redid all the furniture. So like you see, it looks brand new.
It's in really good condition.
Very good condition. Yeah, yeah. And the fabric is like some silk, whatever fabric. And the springs and everything underneath, everything is new. And like you see, it's beautiful.
And an old Singer sewing machine as well.
Yes, this one, I love this one. It's not really working, but I hear that it's in a good condition, and a person that works with fixing machines like this told me that this is probably over 100 years old.
Okay.
And perhaps there's not much that needs to be done to have it working again. But I just love it. There's a lot of soul in it, and,
yes,
you know, it's not perfect, but it's perfectly imperfect. I don't know, it just fits in here.
So where do you get the items from then? Because that's always something that has intrigued me about secondhand stores generally. Where does all this stuff come from? Do people want to sell it via you, or are they clearing a house? How does it work?
Yes, this is. I really don't own anything in here. This is all from people who are, most of the people here don't have time to do all the work with selling. And this living room set here was actually, there was a truck driver that actually pointed out to them he was supposed to take it to the wasteland because they had no place to take it to. And he told them about me, and they came over here. And wow, my heart would have broken had it gone to the wasteland.
So are you selling it for them? Is that how it works?
I'm selling it for them. And everything here is basically I'm selling for people and giving all the service so people don't have to come here and manage the items. They just hand it over to me and fulfilling certain criteria that I put up.
And you talked about recycling at the start of the conversation. Is that important to you as well, the fact that this is, as well as items that are being sold for people in exchange for money, you're also saving them from going into landfill, going to waste?
Yes, and more so, the longer I'm open and the more I'm seeing what is out there and what is going out in the trash, the more important to me it is to save the history. What breaks my heart is, this is what I didn't know when I started, because in the beginning I was very like superficial about just, you know, the recycling and, you know, environment and stuff. Mm-hmm. But more so today, I'm like, oh my God, there's so much history being thrown away, so much values being, I'm not saying necessarily money value.
Yeah.
So it breaks my heart, and more, it's getting increasingly more important, that factor in my mind.
What's interesting to me is that this is a curated store in the way that we have described. You've set this up as a kind of quasi gallery or museum, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess. Not intentionally.
No.
But it's more so I want this to be a journey. I want this to be an escape. I want people to come here to the cafe and sit down, and you could be by yourself, and you would still have a journey. You could sit in your chair, and you would always see something new. That's why I'm always changing things in here.
Yes. Yeah.
And moving things around and exchanging things. And this is the feedback that I've gotten, that it looks like my intention has been successful.
Yes.
People say that they can sit here for hours. And it's like, I hate shopping. That's one of the reasons why I opened this and did it this way. I hate shopping. I get really stressed when there's a lot of people in the store, and I hate trying on clothes. And I hate searching for clothes. That's why I set it up like men, female, by category and sizes.
Yes.
So you don't have to go through, I don't know how many closets to look for a sweater in extra large, you know. But I've always thought, when I'm shopping, why isn't the cafe in the store? Why can't I just sit down for a moment, get my act together, and then stand
and
up
all
again?
All in the same place.
Yeah.
Well, as we've discussed, you've certainly got that facility here. We had a quick tour of the kitchen next door as well, with whom you work to create the food that is served here. So it's a day out, really, isn't it? It could be.
Yes. Every weekday, we have lunch here, a lunch buffet. Yeah. So everyone's welcome for that.
Okay.
And we also have private events. I call it shop, dine, and hang out. We're small groups, or even big groups. I've had a book publishing in here.
Okay.
I've had a 50-year-old birthday in here. I'm having a LP publishing in June for an up-and-coming artist over here.
Okay.
And he is the, you know, there have been private events where the group wants to just shop and hang out in private and have a soup or three-course dinner, what have you. We can sort of work that together.
Let's talk about the area that you're in, because it is very much up and coming. We're in Gufanes, which is part of Reykjavik. It is one of the suburbs. It is an area with huge potential, I think, because there's a very beautiful view to be had from many parts of this area. Where you are here, we've talked about the sort of industrial past of this building and of this area. As we said, there's a lot of potential. What do you want to see happen to this area?
I want this to be cleaned up, first and foremost. Not many people from Reykjavik or in the country know about this area. In our the younger generation knows this as a wasteland, because Sorpa is here.
That's the waste processing company.
Yes. Yeah. And what breaks my heart today is that once you drive into this area, that's the first impression that you get, because there's waste everywhere. The city isn't really cleaning up this place. And I can go out there and clean, which I've sometimes done, and people have their cleaning days, but it's almost useless, because the city is not participating. But hopefully now that, you know, we have service here and this is up and coming, there will be increasing pressure to have this decent in this area.
And more housing as well. There are flats going up, of course, all over the city in many parts of Iceland, but that's true here as well. There are people moving into this area.
Yes, recently there was 14 apartments moved into. I think they're moving in every month. Mm-hmm. I think it's about 1,000 people who live here already in the new condominiums, and 1,000 to 1,500 more coming, and they're building very fast. There's also a lot of industry in here. I mean, the film industry is here, so there's a lot of traffic already.
Yes.
So if we just think about that, with all the companies here surrounding me, that should be enough, especially with the movie industry. You get people from all over the world coming here and getting this first impression. I don't know. We could do so much better.
Well, that is why I spotted the sign, because I was here a few days ago, in fact, having a conversation with someone from one of those film companies, which is just across the road from where we are. And as I was heading back into Roof HQ, I thought I'd take a quick swing by and see what was happening at Gallery Flow. And now, of course, we know we've had that conversation. So the plan then for this area is for you to continue being very much at the heart of it.
Yes. I am increasingly expanding my services because of this area is very starved as far as service. And I'm not thinking just Gufunes, but Grafarvogur, the whole entire area, really doesn't have a... This is the biggest neighborhood in the city.
Yeah.
And it really has very limited services.
It's also one of the newest, though, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And what I love about this area is it's so close to the nature. But it's also far away from the city. It's really not that far away from the city, but as far as driving, because you have to go this circle to go in the city, then it feels very far. Mm. But we have Sundabraut that's going to be built over here. But the plan that Reykjavik has is to have water taxi coming from Harpa via Viðey and to here and back, instead, you know, which is going to shorten the trip downtown significantly.
It is. And also, I mean, for tourists who won't be using that as a commuter route, but will have it as a sort of presumably quite cheap pleasure cruise.
Yeah, not just that, but for the people over here.
Of course.
Yeah. Bringing their bikes over downtown and access our downtown, the bus doesn't even come here. You have to call 30 minutes ahead and order the bus to come here to pick you up and pray that they show up.
Sounds like you've had experience of having to do that.
I haven't personally, but I've had a lot of frustrated customers come in here because the bus stops right outside here. Yeah. They get so frustrated not being picked up.
Yeah.
And it's a shame.
I mean, the speed with which Reykjavik particularly is growing and developing, if we have this conversation again in 5 years, I think it would be a very different conversation. It would be a conversation about everything that's happened over the last 5 years to develop this area. That must be the hope.
Yes, that's sort of what's keeping me going. And from the beginning, I've seen this area as a Soho of Reykjavik.
Yeah,
and me and the owners of the building, we have decided from the beginning, in this building at least, that this is always going to be... We're not going to be reestablishing anything in here. We're going to be reusing things, keep things as original as possible, just like I've done here with the flooring and everything. We're not going to go and replace things with modern, new stuff to create more waste. And that's also the goal of this neighborhood. It's a sustainable neighborhood anyways. But I think that's how I see Soho and I experience Soho, is being just like very hip, but low maintenance type of thing, you know?
You mean Soho in London or New York, by the way?
Both.
Both.
I'm more thinking New York because I'm more Americanized.
Okay.
But that's my hope. And I hope being a startup company over here, like I told you earlier before this interview, that there's a lot of things, you know, being a startup that you're like, being so frustrated about now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I can write a book later and just like kind of...
I would
laugh at it.
I would read that book for sure. You could sit here and write it. It's a beautiful space to spend some time, isn't it?
Yes. I've had artists here, actually, you know, writing. And there's artist of the month, which I have right outside the store. She has sat here drawing because she's a drawer. And I love it. People come here to knit. I don't want to sit alone in this store.
No,
you know?
No.
But I get a very positive feedback about the condition of everything, because my focus here is that I want people to be able to trust what they get, you know, and both that's, as far as pricing and condition.
Yes, and that's something you mentioned at the start, which is important, I think, because there is, I think, there is a sense among some people that, you know, you can only expect to get what you pay for. And if you buy something in a secondhand store, you're not paying full price, and therefore you might expect the zip not to work or for a button to be missing. What you're saying is that, no, people who shop in secondhand stores have a right to expect that things work.
Yes.
And are complete.
Yes. And even though we're focused on the environment and recycling, we can't recycle today everything. There are things that are just done and need to go elsewhere. I don't feel like we need to, obviously we should if we could, but preserve everything and sell it as it is just because? I don't know. But in my experience, I felt betrayed doing that because I had some expectations. But then it's a matter of expectations.
Do you ever find yourself in Colaportif or the Good Shepherd and you maybe see something and think that would look great in my store? I might buy it and sell it on.
Yeah, I've thought that too. I've thought that a lot. But thankfully, because I fall in love with things, thankfully I have less and less time to go there and look. Otherwise, my head, I don't know where it would be.
Your car would be full of stuff.
Yeah, my car would be full of stuff. Yeah. And but I do go there because I do have this hunting service where people or companies come to me and they're looking for something particular. And might not have it in the store, but then I go and look for it for them. I wanted to tell you the name of my store, Galerie Flow. There's a thought to that where I told you earlier that I kind of get easily cringed with things. And I was looking at names of stores like this in Iceland, and I felt like, oh, they all give me this sense. I love these stores, by the way. I'm not putting anyone down, but I'm just trying to reach people like me who have this cringe thing and can't want to participate but can't, you know? So I thought, what would draw me into a store like this? I don't want it to be called flea market or flow market or anything telling me before I get there what to expect.
Yeah, flea market is not a great bit of advertising or marketing, is it really?
No, not really. And it kind of, I already, my mind, because I'm very visual, my mind already gets I smell the smell.
And you can see the kinda, fleas.
Yeah. So I thought, I love the name Gallery. There used to be a store, Gallerie Eva, when I was a teenager. I always thought it was very sophisticated. Had brand new clothes and everything. But there's something about the name Gallerie. So I was like, yeah, I want to have Gallerie. That way people get this elegant, maybe, experience. They don't get the smell right away. So, and I thought, okay, somehow I need to let people know that this is secondhand. So I thought, okay, flow. But it could be so many things. Mm-hmm. To foreigners, it could be a flow, like flowing. Or in Iceland, flowing. And flow, it could be, it's a shortening of flea market, but not really a flea market. Just use your imagination, you know. So, and I actually get that. There was an artist that wanted to have a concert here. Actually said it to me the other day. You know what? It's the name that actually makes me want to have a concert here. If this was called the flea market, I don't really know if I wanted to have my concert associated to that. You know what I mean? And I got so flattered. I was like, oh, yeah, it's working. It works for me. Yeah, and it's drawing people in here like me who have never shopped secondhand before, who are telling me also, you know, this is the first time I'm able to buy. Because I know I can't prevent people from going into some sort of a journey in their head. But what I want is that they at least do not go into a negative journey of, ugh, who wore this, or is this dirty, or you know, like I did.
It's worth coming here just to have a look at what is available at any given time and spend some time in the three different living room zones. We're in the middle zone at the moment. Aldis, thanks very much for your time. We might follow this conversation up at some point with some of the events that you have coming up over the year.
Oh, hopefully we'll be laughing at the, how it looked with the wasteland and everything.
I think so.
I have to point one thing out.
Okay.
Have you been to the beach down the street?
Yes.
If you go straight down past my store, there's a white beach. And that's the city has a plan to make this, it's going to warm it up, and they're going to have a heating pool in the middle. And it's
like Neutersvik?
Yes.
Okay.
It's gorgeous. You should go down there. And already they took the first step last Friday, opened up for sea swimming people. They opened up a free dressing room for people to change their clothes. And this being in Iceland, being, you know, like a white beach, which I heard the other day, accidentally became a white beach because they had to get ship white sand for the industry that was here. And it's kind of remained. And the Spanish beach is just down the street.
Well, that would because it is unusual for there to be a white beach, as you say, in Iceland. But that explains it. It's a it's an artificial white beach. And yes, if that could become like Neutersvik, which is a very successful part of the city centre, it's just another reason to come out to Gufanes.
Exactly. Everyone's welcome.
Okay.
And we're open from 11:30 till 6 so far. Soon I'll be expanding my opening hours from 9, but not yet, but very shortly.
Once you get into the heart of the summer, I suppose.
Yeah. And have people look at, I have a Facebook page, Instagram, TikTok. Open on Saturdays, so everyone's welcome.
We'll put links to that up on the page that accompanies this show from Roof English Radio for now. Good luck and thank you, Aldis.
Thank you so much.
It's Roof English Radio. I'm Darren Adam, and you can get in touch with us anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There's more from Roof English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.